Throughout most of American history, the idea of liberty was something which was a foundation of our republic. It was a guiding light as our country grew, cherished by Americans, protected by the American soldiers, who we are paying tribute to on this Memorial Day weekend. Unfortunately, that liberty has been kidnapped and restrained in more recent times. Sad thing is that while many people point the finger at others, such as politicians as an example, for this erosion taking place, there's cause for those people to aim that finger at themselves. Joining us now is the top voice when it comes to economics and personal liberties. He's the John M. Olin Distinguished Professor of Economics at George Mason University, nationally syndicated columnist, radio host. In his new book, American Contempt for History, we say good morning to Professor Walter E. Williams. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Great to have you here, and always happy to learn from your collective works and your insight. WalterEWilliams.com is the professor's website, and I'm reading your book, a collection of your essays through more recent times, and I don't know if this is a fair barometer, but I'd posted on my Facebook page shortly after I did my taxes that I had to pay up because, knock on wood, I'm of good health, and I don't have health insurance. If I have some reason for something, I pay it out of my own pocket, and again, I'm healthy and everything. And that innocent comment of the fact that I had to pay the Obama penalty caused liberals primarily to, direct quote, call me a criminal for not having health insurance. Is that indicative to just what the mindset is of too many people right now, that without big government and the false belief of economics as it is today, which is in fact more handout than economics, is that one of the foundations of our problems right now?
Yes, it is. I think, you know, the way I think about a number of these issues is that I start off with my initial premise is that I own Walter Williams. I am my property, and you are your property. Okay, so if we start off with the idea of self-ownership, then it is clear which things are moral and which things are immoral. That is, the reason why murder is immoral is that it violates private property. So is rape. It violates private property. Theft is immoral because it violates private property. Or to tell a person, as in the case of Obamacare, to tell a person, well, he must buy something or else he'll get some kind of penalty. That's immoral as well. And so I believe that the contempt that Americans show for personal liberty, which is the title of the book, American Contempt for Liberty, it's demonstrated by the fact that the average American, whether Republican or Democrat, conservative or liberal, they believe that it's okay for Congress to forcibly use one American to serve the purposes of another American, and examples abound. That is, they force you and me to serve the purposes of farmers. You know, we have to cough up our money to give the farmers for crop subsidies or business bailouts or welfare to poor people or food stamps or foreign aid. That, you know, I think it's immoral to forcibly use one person to serve the purposes of another. And matter of fact, that's a working definition of slavery, the forcible use of one person to serve the purposes of another. But most Americans think that is okay.
And is the problem magnified because we have the cause and effect catalyst on two sides? We have, as I alluded to in the introduction, many of the people who say, I want government to do more for me, and they have no problem of it, or through misunderstanding or a lack of education, think that everything that they're being told is constitutional and ethical and moral is the exact opposite. But then you have Congress, certainly of recent days, surrendering most, if not all, of their constitutional duties to the executive branch, and those are the people that were supposed to be among those who are preserving it, yet they are surrendering it.
You're absolutely right, and that is, I think that far too many Americans blame politicians for our problems, but we are the blame. And I think that one has to start off thinking about this matter is that the money that Congress spends on anything, they don't get it from the Tooth Fairy. Mm-hmm. They don't get it from Santa Claus. Now, so that when you recognize that Congress has no resources of its very own, that forces you to recognize that the only way that Congress can give one American citizen $1 is to first, through intimidation, threats, and coercion, confiscate that dollar from some other American. And so, but see, this is okay with the average American. He thinks that it is okay for Congress to take the earnings of one person and giving it to another to whom it does not belong. And I think that listeners should be aware of it. I'm not making an argument against taxes, because there are some legitimate functions of the Congress that are enumerated in Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, and we're each obliged to pay our share. But there's nothing stated in the Constitution that requires that I give up my earnings to help another person. Now, I might also add that I personally believe in helping one's fellow man in need. I think that helping one's fellow man in need by reaching into one's own pockets to do so is praiseworthy and laudable. Helping one's fellow man in need by reaching into somebody else's pockets, I think, is worthy of condemnation, and it's evil.
Or much like the idea expressed by the Obama administration, I believe it was around 2010, 2011, the theory of, well, instead of individual giving to charities, people should give the money to the government, let them divvy it up to whatever charities they see are, quote-unquote, effective or appropriate.
You're right. And you know, something else, I would ask this question. You know, everybody knows that people should know that James Madison is the acknowledged father of the United States Constitution. And in 1794, Congress appropriated $15,000 to help some French refugees. James Madison stood on the floor of the House irate, and he said, and I'm quoting him, "I cannot undertake to lay my finger on that article in the Constitution that authorizes Congress to take the money of their constituents and spend it on benevolence." Now, you see that two-thirds or three-quarters of the federal budget today is for the purpose of benevolence. Now, the disastrous thing is, what would the American people today do to a presidential candidate who expressed the same sentiments as James Madison? And James Madison also said that charity is no part of the legislative duty of government. But the American people would have contempt for these values of the fathers, of the framers of the Constitution.
Without any question, we're talking with Professor Walter E. Williams, his new book, American Contempt for Liberty, WalterEWilliams.com on the web. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. And going back to one of your columns as well, I believe from March 5th of last year, and it was entitled Black People Duped. I was thinking back to the Obama inauguration, and they had a huge celebration in Comiskey Park. And much like you just alluded to, how people think it's not their money, it's the Tooth Fairy money. There were many blacks who were calling it, where'd that money come from? Well, it's Obama money. They don't make the
Obama's
connection.
It's Obama giving him money, and I mean that has to be the height of naivety or stupidity.
But it just adds to how that's one of the catalysts that allows those who, and again, using the Constitution, what was then and adhered to by the framers and the original intent believers. The popular phrase now is it's a living, breathing document, which is translated to plain English. We're now attempting to rewrite the Constitution.
Well, anyone who says that the Constitution is a living document, I mean, he is also at the same time saying we don't have a Constitution. That is, the Constitution represents the rules of the game. And the rules of the game, in order to mean anything, they must be fixed. And as I sometimes ask people, how would you like to play me poker tonight and the rules be living? That is, maybe my two pair can beat your full house, depending on the circumstances. Now, the framers of the Constitution, they knew, they anticipated that there might be changes. And so they gave us Article 5 as a means to amend the Constitution. But the Supreme Court rewrites the Constitution almost every day of the week.
And it filters down to states as well. The New Jersey State Supreme Court is notoriously an activist court, as is the U.S. Supreme Court. And I'm sure if you're listening on the stream, you can find examples in your state, too. As we wrap up our time with Professor Walter E. Williams and his new book, American Contempt for Liberty, WalterEWilliams.com on the web here on Issues and Ideas. So moving ahead and looking to right the wrongs for being true to what a republic is supposed to stand for with liberty, is the voice of dissent today enough? Because if you look at the next generation coming out as we get ready for graduation time and everything, what students are being indoctrinated with and what they're being denied as far as the education process would be concerned with any kind of discussion of history and the foundation, what hope is there when you look ahead?
Well, there might be a slight glimmer of hope in the following sense. That is, the first 2 years of the Obama administration, when those people controlled the House and the Senate as well as the White House, they became so brazen in some of their activities that for the first time in my life, and I'm almost 80 years old, you have people arguing about the Constitution. You have the formation of the Tea Party movement. You had states' attorney generals suing the federal government over the health care plan. And then you had many states, state legislatures passing 10th Amendment resolutions. Now, so there's a spirit of rebellion in the land, but the question is whether it's too little or too late.
What Professor Williams writes about in very succinct and effective world economy ways is a realization just how much of a value there is to what the framers had in mind and our founding fathers cultivated, and the risk that it exists at today. So it is one of those must-read books, which is why I bring it to your attention this morning, American Contempt for Liberty, WalterEWilliams.com, the web. Professor Williams, thank you for helping us grow in that voice of dissent with the facts and the knowledge that we need. Thanks for being here this morning.
Okay, thanks for inviting me.